Speaking of the conference tournaments, over at bangthebook.com, I've got previews up for, I believe, 27 or so of the conference tournaments. Obviously, some of them already done, some of them finishing up here tonight, a lot of them getting started here today and tomorrow. So you can check those out over at the website. My MLB betting guide is available on Amazon, also in PDF form over at bangthebook.com. And we're still doing daily NBA, daily NHL, weekly golf, tennis, soccer, NASCAR, UFC, you name it, we got it going on over at bangthebook.com. Finally, as you know, this and every edition of Bang the Book Radio, presented by our friends over at DSI Sportsbook, BTB, and the number 200 is that promo code. 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook, 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino at BetDSI. It's only a game until you bet it. Two guests on this Tuesday program, and we start things off with Brian Blessing, the host of Sportsbook Radio and Vegas Hockey Hotline. Brian, how's it going today, man?
All right, Adam. You know, when you said an hour and 15 minutes, I'm like, all right, I'm ready. And and then I'm like, oh, John's on. Good. So John's been doing a lot of stuff. Looking forward to that.
You know what, man? I bet our listeners would appreciate it if you and I went an hour and 15 minutes. So we got a lot of really positive feedback about our Tuesday shows, and hopefully we can bring you a lot of good information on this one as well. And Brian, let's start in the NHL here. Five games last night, 4-1 goal games, one of them a 2-goal spread. But maybe we are starting to see this time of the year with a lot of these close, lower scoring games. Maybe it's just some recency bias off of last night, but we've talked about this a lot, that things really do tighten up in the month of March.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you got to watch the games though. I mean, it matters. At the end of the night, you got Colorado's taking on the Kings, and the Kings are, by the way, a really good story in the NHL. I mean, hopelessly out of it, and they have just flat out taken off. They're winning games. They're playing with enthusiasm. Aya Falo scored a great goal last night. But I will tell you this. When this season is said and done, Adam, in the West, L.A. is going to ruin somebody's year here. They're on a tootsie roll. They've won six in a row, playing a fun brand of hockey. But you can just throw a blanket over the West. I mean, if you go to the 3 seed in the Pacific, Calgary. And by the way, I should say the 3 seed in the Central, too, because Dallas has lost 5 in a row, but they have 82 points. But the 3 seed in the Pacific is Calgary with 79, followed by Winnipeg 78, Minnesota 77, Vancouver 76, Nashville 76. Coyotes lost last night. They've lost a couple in a row. But I still think can do something with Kemper back in the lineup at 74. I mean, you throw a blanket over these teams here in the home stretch, and the Kings are going to collide with all these teams. And the way they're playing, they're gonna send someone golfing this year.
Well, and the thing about the Kings, and I kind of mentioned this a little bit in my situational article coming out of the All-Star break and the bye weeks, is that they had played a lot more road games than home games, and they have been terrible on the road. They've lost 26 of 36 on the road. They're in a nice stretch here with a lot of home games. I know they went and won on the road at Vegas on March 1st, but they're playing a ton of games at home. And as we know, teams that go out West usually play 3 and 4 on that California swing, generally play a back-to-back in Anaheim and Los Angeles, something like that. So they're really taking advantage of these teams and some of these travel schedules. They've got several more home games coming up before finishing with several games on the road to wrap up the regular season. So again, the schedule just plays such a big part, as we've talked about, day in and day out. And in fact, a really good article over at The Athletic today from Pierre LeBrun, who talked about, how teams are kind of saying, look, we'll play some more games in October. We'll play some more weeknight games to not have this condensed schedule at the end of the year. Carolina's playing 16 games in 27 days. Florida played 15 games, I think, in the 29 days of February, something like that. These teams are playing very backloaded schedules here. So as always, be aware of those situational spots.
And I would say to you that like somebody like that, it could be, the glass is half full, the glass is half empty. I mean, okay, if you're playing well and you're fighting your way, trying to get in the playoffs, Carolina is the 8 seed right now. Okay, get it done. you fight, you get in a roll and you get in a rhythm, and you find your way to get in. I think you could carry that momentum into the playoffs, but believe me, the compacted schedule at some point would catch up to a team that, you know, but why, you know, a team like that could maybe win the first round and then go in and get swept or mauled in the second round, because at some point, you know, you just hit a wall. And I would even throw some other teams to keep an eye on. I mean, my God, Detroit's historically bad, but they've won two in a row. Ottawa is a young team building something for the future. They've won two in a row, but they compete and they play hard every night. You know, I want to puke with the Sabres. I mean, you know how that goes. But here, watch out. And I'll just say this. You know, they're all about playing the ping pong balls again in the lottery. But last night, you know, flies under the radar because they're an afterthought. They've been playing without really their goalie for however long it's been now, 3+ weeks. Linus Ullmark back in the lineup last night. Spectacular against the Caps, specifically in the shootout. And Buffalo beat Washington. So, you know, you sit there, and hockey players, for the most part, of all the teams, you know, all the pro athletes, I think hockey players are far less prone to running for the bus than other guys. And there'll be those nights where they sit there and go, this is our playoff game. And it sounds like a cliche, but believe me, you know, a lot of these teams will embrace the role of spoiler. And by the way, I mean, that's what's going on with the Kings. I mean, literally, they just said, we're building a foundation. This is the way we want to play moving forward. And young guys are getting a chance to play. And, I mean, there's teams you can take a look at. I think they're, you know, Anaheim is 4-4-2 in their last 10. There are no great shakes, but there are nights when they're flying up and down the ice and they play with a bite to their game. So, believe me, the teams that have pressure facing the teams that are out of it and are playing loose as a goose, those are really dangerous games here in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, they most definitely are. It's an excellent point to make there. And the teams that are playing 16 games here in the month of March, obviously we're 9 days into the month of March already as far as games go. Colorado, Carolina, Edmonton, Minnesota, New Jersey, the New York Islanders, Pittsburgh, Vancouver, and Washington. 16 games in 31 days here in March. And you know, all of these teams are kind of in different spots. Some of these teams have already gone through this playoff grind, like a Washington, like a Pittsburgh. You've got some teams that are relatively new or don't consistently get into that playoff grind, like Colorado, like Vancouver, like Edmonton especially. So all of these teams are going to handle these situations differently. And like you said, you know, the pressures of playing games that matter in March, that takes a toll on you mentally, physically, emotionally. These teams that are young, are injecting life into the lineup, that aren't playing for anything, do become very, very dangerous because they're just playing at a breakneck pace. They're trying to go out there, develop creativity, develop chemistry against these teams that tighten up a little bit and maybe a little bit fatigued. Maybe you get some really good underdog prices coming in here, especially in the second half of the month.
Oh yeah. I mean, believe me, I mean, if you like the barking dog too, a lot of these places are offering reverse puck lines, and you can get teams in the 3-4-1 range. In a hockey game, you know, you play the dog on the puck line the other way, and you identify that bad spot. I will tell you, you know, a lot of the things we say for football, I think you can cross over, and a lot of the things and angles you apply in all sports, they cross over to different sports. They really do. And I know one thing we'll say a lot of in football, I believe this, sometimes a team shows me more in defeat than they do when they win. And I would say this to you, that Edmonton beat Columbus on Saturday 4-1. They were terrible, and they won the game 4-1. They lost to Vegas last night in overtime. And I'm telling you, McDavid didn't play. Edmonton, all of a sudden, I was like, okay, you know, Connor McDavid, blah, blah, blah. McDavid, Draisaitl, you know, get him there. It's a good story. We're way overachieving. Their defense isn't that good, and the goaltending. Right now, I don't think anybody's putting any goalie in the league at the moment. And it's a short window, but if it's sustainable. But don't forget what Binnington did last year. Koskinen for Edmonton. is standing on his head. You literally need a pistol to beat this guy right now. The only way you're beating him is through a screen or a deflection. He was outlandish last night against Vegas. Edmonton was, you know, they had Vegas coming in on back-to-back nights, and Vegas carried play the whole night. And they threw the sink at Koskinen, and he was terrific. I'm telling you, Edmonton might be sneaky dangerous when the playoffs get here because they got the great power play. And if the goaltending, if Koskinen's doing this, they are not going to be an easy out.
Something else I wanted to ask you about here, and this is down a completely different track, but, you know, we saw the announcement in Santa Clara County regarding the Sharks and their home games here coming up, and they're still sort of trying to figure out what to do as far as the coronavirus goes and whether or not they're going to play to an empty building, if they're going to play at a neutral site, if they're going to play those games on the road. And ultimately, you know, it may matter to the opponents. I'm not sure exactly who those are. It won't matter to San Jose because they're not playing for anything anyway. But as this coronavirus concern spreads, as it becomes, you know, a lot more populated in different areas, different NHL markets, stuff like that, and we have already seen to a degree that attendance has been down in some of these buildings, do you start to adjust in your mind what home ice advantage means? Or is it just one of those things where there's still the travel schedule and there's still the last change and some of the other advantages of being at home?
Yeah, I honestly truly believe for the most part, I mean, Philly would say differently this year, the way they're going, maybe Vegas in their first year of existence, they're going to be teams that are just dominant on home ice. But I think home ice advantage, the big advantage is the last change. Now, in a playoff series, it's a bigger deal because you're playing the same team every other night. So matching up, and if you're finding a formula for success in a series, that's a big deal. You know, game to game in the regular season, I don't think it's that big a deal. So I think the home ice advantage is overblown. I mean, the goaltending is the great equalizer. You know, in some respects, I know there were teams that embraced that role. You're better off starting on the road. You know, I mean, you go and steal one of the first two, you're kind of grabbing a series by the throat, especially if you win the first one. You know, then you're playing with house money in the second game and all the pressure's on the home team. And if you ever win that, then literally all you're looking to do is get a split at home. But you've literally almost for the most part won the series in the first two games by starting on the road. By the way, your San Jose thing, really talk about a bizarre setup here. It really, at least for the league, the good fortune here is they're on the road now for four games until March 19th. They play the Bruins at home on the 21st. So, you know, that's not going to change anybody's world there. Then they go back on the road for three, and then they have a home game with Arizona on the 29th, play at the Kings, and then home games with the Stars and the Ducks. So the Arizona and Dallas games, really the rest of the way, only two of those games in San Jose could conceivably, I think, have like massive impact, like maybe, you know, impacting a team that's fighting to get in the playoffs. So that's the one bit of good news on the San Jose front.
Well, as we take a look here at this Tuesday night card, speaking of a team fighting, the Philadelphia Flyers, man, they've got a game in hand. They can take over first place in the Metropolitan tonight. They can also win their 10th straight game if they're victorious against the Boston Bruins, who have by and large been the best team in the Eastern Conference here throughout the course of the season. So that's your spotlight game tonight. It's kind of a moneyline pick'em type scenario where you're paying a little bit of juice on both sides, but the game is effectively a coin flip here between Boston and Philadelphia. What do you think about that matchup tonight?
Well, I mean, I would say this. It's Philly or nothing. You know, they've won nine in a row. So the streak alone, you know, has you looking at them. And if anything, the streak is like, well, you know, all good things come to an end. But the biggest thing is, you know, these guys are 25-5-4 at home. And, you know, Carter Hart is, you know, home and away. There's a dichotomy there, but the kid's spectacular at home. So I think you're playing a game of jacks on the train tracks if you know, don't bet the Flyers at home. It kind of sticks out. The other one would be something of a similar ilk. is Toronto, and I don't know what you do with Toronto. You know, these guys, just when you think they're hopelessly out of it and they can't get out of their own way, then they start winning again. And here we go on another three-game bender where they can't get out of their own way. And, you know, Tampa Bay's coming in here. Now, you know, Tampa Bay, they're 6 points back of the Bruins. Probably not going to catch them. But you would say not necessarily insurmountable just yet. But you're telling me, you know, with Toronto, who you can't trust, and you're getting Tampa Bay minus a dime. I Tampa's the better team, right? Is there any doubt who the better team is? I mean, I think the answer clearly is no. I think you'd have to look at Tampa. But this is the kind of game Toronto wins. You're going, oh, these guys are a mess, and then all of a sudden, bam, they show up. But I'd be definitely looking at Tampa here. I think Toronto's doing their level best to keep Florida and some other teams in this.
Late game out west here in British Columbia, the Islanders in Vancouver, and these are two teams in free fall mode. Mm. Islanders have lost six straight. Canucks have lost 7 of 10. They're just falling like a rock there in the Pacific Division, to the point where now we don't even know if they're going to make the playoffs. When they were leading this division, I believe around the trade deadline. So they've really, really struggled here of late. So two teams going in opposite direction. Well, two teams going in the same direction here, but one of them has to win this game, obviously. So what are you kind of thinking about that one tonight?
Well, I mean, believe me, I've gotten several teams hideously wrong this year in terms of, you know, I mean, the Sharks free fall was just, I don't know who saw that coming. But Vancouver, my preseason thought on Vancouver was, this is a good young team. A lot of nice pieces. I think they're heading the right way. I think they'll be in it for the long haul. But I bet you they spit the bit at the end. And Vancouver's really going down that road now. Now, the big deal is not having Markstrom has just really torched them. The one that is stupefying to me is the Islanders falling off the map. Losing six in a row. They play a, you know, good defensive brand of hockey, decent goaltending. Trotz is a great coach. You know, the funny thing is, as bad as they are today, if the light bulb goes on and they play well going into the playoffs, I still think the style of play they play could be really annoying for teams in the postseason. But right now, it's one of these things, because you get a fresh start, right? I mean, you start all over in the postseason. But I don't know. You find somebody's offering a three-way line and play the game to end at a tie in regulation, because how do you trust either one of them at the moment?
All right, so we talked a little bit about Buffalo and how they get Ullmark back and how maybe now, you know, even though it looks like they're out of the playoff picture, they may be a team that you kind of want to back a little bit because they should start playing better. We talked about the Kings having won six in a row and how, you know, they're one of those teams just kind of playing free and easy and sort of figuring it out on the fly here to a degree. Any other teams that you feel like are kind of in a right spot to get hot, maybe rattle a few in a row off here?
Yeah, they fell short last night. I still have this bizarre feeling that Arizona, the thing that is really problematic is they don't score. But I think, you know, Kemper finds a groove. Kemper is a guy, I think, is a guy that can get hot. Nashville is kind of hanging around. The one I tell you we've been making money on, Adam, and I on various platforms and on my daily hockey show, it's been the better part of a month talking about this, and it literally been an ATM machine, and that's the Minnesota Wild are an over team. They're spectacular on the road. I mean, they coughed up a lung, had a bad game against the Kings Saturday. And we're talking about how good the Kings are playing. They lost 7-3. Then they went and played the Ducks, and that game was 5-4. You're like, Anaheim, Minnesota, 5-4. Now, Minnesota is, they're like a cockroach. You can't kill them. I mean, and oh, by the way, they're the team that's in the hunt that made a coaching change. And you tell me what it is about the NHL, teams that make the midseason coaching change, it works, you know, and if they get in, they're not going to be an easy out either. There's everything about their game is sketchy, but their ability to win on the road is impressive.
Yeah, it definitely is. And one other quick note there about Nashville, I saw a lot of positive stuff about UC Saros, the goaltender here for the Predators, playing very, very well since the transition to John Hines, who was, of course, hired to replace Peter Laviolette. So that's, again, a hot goaltender, especially this time of the year, can really carry a team a long way, to say the least. I saw an interesting bit of news here. In fact, they canceled the Ivy League conference tournament because of coronavirus. So and Yale automatically gets in, even though Harvard, the two seed, hosting the conference tournament. So that would have been pretty interesting.
Wow. They also canceled the World Championships in Halifax this year. You tell me how this is all going to shake out. This is a, it's a real fluid thing. And, hey, next week we got March Madness in here. And I know there are, and I'm supposed to be out down at the Golden Nugget and, doing the radio shows and having a great time down there with our buddy Tony Miller and watching all the games. And he and other places, they've had people calling in and, that had made reservations, some of them are canceling. And I think more than the gathering, which is still something you got to consider, having the large gatherings, is I think the concerns over flying is going to be a big thing. But honestly, every day as this thing moves forward, what's going to happen? We talk sports, man. We have fun talking sports. This is serious stuff. And what ultimately, and we've already done it, right? You talk about San Jose and hockey. What's going to happen with all these big sporting events? It's crazy, man. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you think about, obviously there's all these conference tournaments and, places like Nashville with the SEC tournament. You got a couple out there in Vegas again this week with the Pac-12 and the WAC. Obviously just finished up some in Vegas, the Mountain West and the West Coast Conference final tonight. You're going to have a lot of people going a lot of different places, a lot of people canceling a lot of different things. I was supposed to go see Pearl Jam in Baltimore later this month. Pearl Jam's canceled the entire first leg of their tour. So I don't know when they're going to reschedule that. But, you also think down to, the Final Four and the national championship game. I mean, that's supposed to be, 75,000 people going to that? You sort of wonder how that's going to play out. Attendance at these NASCAR races, UFC events, all kinds of different things.
The NFL's not. Oh no, plans are still a go. Well, okay, plans are still a go today, but the NFL draft's coming to Vegas.
Yeah,
I mean, and I think that thing's going to be by the fountains of the Bellagio down there. I mean, literally, you have 300,000, whatever, a couple hundred thousand people down there going bananas or whatever. Who knows in 6 weeks what we're talking about?
Well, and God love Vegas. I mean, I love Vegas. I go at least three times a year, pretty much, but. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know it's one of the most unsanitary places in the world. I mean, you're sitting there at the table, shuffling those checks, playing with those chips and all that. And those don't get washed. Those don't get clean. You got tons of people in and out of everywhere.
Well, money's the big thing. They're saying, the exchanging money's a big thing. Yeah.
I don't know. We've seen, Serie A and the Italian Soccer League, they've just completely ceased games for right now. That's probably going to continue to be a thing over in Europe. It's nuts. I mean, it's great. We saw Chicago State didn't play their last two conference games. I mean, they're terrible, and they were going to lose them anyway. But they didn't want to go up to Seattle and play a game. Who knows what happens with the XFL schedule? I mean, it's nuts. The uncertainty is just crazy.
Hey, buddy, I'm doing a hockey watch party last night out at Sunset Station. And all the things they tell you, and nice guy, guy comes up, he goes, "This is great. We love it." And we give him jerseys away and all kinds of, "This is great. What you guys do here." But the nice guy, first time he'd been at the thing, blah, 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 sticks his hand out. And I stick my hand out and shake the guy's hand, and I'm part of me going, A, doesn't this guy have a TV? And B, I'm sitting there going, "Well, what am I doing?" And I shake the guy's hand. But I mean, literally, I'm Usain Bolt to the bathroom, wash your hands. I mean, it's insane. This is absolutely insane what's going on.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows, obviously, how long this will drag out and, which sporting events are impacted. And obviously, you know, lives are being lost and lives are being significantly impacted. Obviously, our show in the context of sports, so we're, you know, we're trying to talk about it in that regard. But it is seems like it's probably one of those things that'll get worse before it gets better. And, you know, a lot of conferences and leagues now trying to be as proactive as possible. And that's going to dictate a lot of things because, you know, I mean, like you said, you know, we're kind of on schedules here with the rest of the NBA regular season going into the playoffs, NHL going into the playoffs, Major League Baseball starts, you know, in 16 days. I mean, we're on schedules here with these things, and this is going to throw a lot of stuff off. And, you know, obviously you certainly want to err on the side of caution as much as you possibly can, but, you know, from a betting standpoint, which, you know, is, you know, the tone of our show, I mean, there could be some crazy things happening, to be sure.
Oh, I mean, just as an aside, very quickly, because it has nothing to do with the betting, but, you know, for 2.5 or 3 years now, let's call it, Vegas with the hockey team here, and now now the players, media's not going to be able to go in the rooms anymore, and I honestly, I'm on board with that. I think it's a joke what the NHL's done. I don't know where the Pro Hockey Writers Association is. You know, where you go in a room after a game and there are three guys there. Well, wait a minute. Where's everybody? You know, it's ridiculous. There's no way to cover a team, and that's league wide. But I would say to you, I'd go out there, and I go in the room. I'm interviewing these guys. This is like every day for 3 years. Me, I mean, I got the Perel. I mean, walking. I mean, hockey rooms are the biggest contagion in the world, right? I mean, you know, they go on a trip, they get a flu. The team gets the flu. I mean, for 3 years, I'm walking in and out of there. It was a germaphobe to begin with. Perel, you'll walk out of there. At New Year's Day, I got the flu New Year's Day. So, I mean, I'm under the weather for a good 4 days, but who knows how long it's with you. I didn't go to hockey practices. Now, I don't want to go in there and make these guys sick. I mean, I'm not saying I'm like some saint, but I've certainly a courteous sick guy. You know, I wasn't about to go in the room when I wasn't feeling well, and God forbid somebody on the hockey team gets it and then something like that goes around the room. I didn't go over there for 10 days. That's, you know, but I bet you there are people that just, it's no big deal. And, you know, somebody would go in there and conceivably could make them sick. So, yeah, I understand them putting a blanket around these guys and do your level best to keep guys healthy.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to see how it all plays out and, you know, how much worse it gets. And hopefully, you know, it doesn't get a whole lot worse than it seems to be trending right now. But I guess to bring this back to something that's hopefully some better news here, the Players' Championship, the stadium course down at TPC Sawgrass, the signature event here for the PGA Tour. Obviously, you've got the majors, but this is the signature event for the Players. $15 million prize purse. $2.7 million to the winner of this one. 80 official world golf ranking points as well. This is a premium, premier, big-time tournament, to say the least. Rory, your favorite, continuing his string of top fives. He's 7-1. John Rahm in the 11-1 range. Justin Thomas, 14-1. DeChambeau, 16-1. I can't tell you the last time we had Dustin Johnson at 20-1, but that's the case here this week. Bunch of great players.
He's 25 in Vegas.
Wow.
DJ, yeah.
No Tiger, but strong, strong field here for the Players. Before we talk about some guys specifically that you and I like this week, what types of players do you look for at Sawgrass?
Anybody.
Good enough.
It's that kind of course. I can virtually guarantee you that there'll be a guy. I mean, I could probably go as nuts and say 150-1, but I won't go that high. I'll guarantee you a player that's 100-1 or higher is on the first page of the leaderboard Sunday morning, within 3 or 4 shots of the lead with a chance to win. It's that kind of course. Craig Perks, right? Craig Perks wins this thing. You think. Who is? It's a hot hand. It's a high risk, high reward kind of course. If somebody can post a number on Sunday, and you put a number on the board, and some guy's coming in with a 2-3 shot lead, and you got to go to the island hole and play 18. You know, some guy sitting in the clubhouse can win this thing. I think you go grenade hunting here, but there are two chalks I would not clearly McElroy defending champ, amazing, you know, top five after top five, really spit the bit Sunday, but the conditions were brutal. And oh, by the way, I got to tell you, hats off to the PGA Tour and that Florida swing, the Honda Classic, and then last week at Bay Hill. How much fun is that to watch? Those were like majors. I mean, these guys were just life and death to get par on every hole. I think that is so entertaining, so much more entertaining than when the winning score is 26 under par. It's not even a contest. The best player wins the tournament, you know, when the conditions are like that. Those 2 weeks were a treat.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's crazy because next week, the Valspar Championship at Innisbrook, that's not a course where guys go super low either. That's a single-digit winning score kind of course. So it's crazy to think that this week may be the easiest course of the Florida swing, and it's TPC Sawgrass, and it's the Players' Championship. But
the weather's going to be good too, bud. I mean, 76-ish every day. It's like partly sunny, partly cloudy. And on the weekend, the wind bumps up from like 9 miles an hour to maybe 12 miles an hour. So if the wind's 12, that means you probably get gusts occasionally, 15 to 20. There's a lot of water on that course. So, you know, the wind, I think, could be a slight factor on the weekend, but the weather, a lot of times the weather can be a real issue there. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case here this year.
Now, look, we have had some very, very good players that have won this recently. Rory's the defending champ. Webb Simpson won it 2 years ago. And, you know, really over the last 2-3 years, Webb Simpson's been playing the best golf of his career. Jason Day's won this. Ricky Fowler. Martin Keimer's got a win here. Tiger Woods twice. Matt Kuchar. But you also have Tim Clark and KJ Choi and Siwoo Kim. And
yep-er.
Some of the guys that finished runner-up here, too. I mean, Jim Furyk was the runner-up last year.
He had a big shot to win. He was in the clubhouse. He had a big shot to win that last year.
And he was the runner up back in 2014 when Jim Furyk was a different player at that point in time. But you know, a guy like Jimmy Walker was the runner up in 2018. Furyk, Walker, Kim, those guys 200, 300 to one out there in the market this time around. You mentioned there are a couple of shorter prices you like here this week. Who are those guys?
I don't think you can go any further than John Rahm. I mean, if you give me John Rahm in a matchup against McIlroy, I'm in. Last year, if you remember, you know, Rahm, I said that was hilarious. It's kind of the nature of the beast of his game. And I think he's getting better with his emotions. I think he's done a great job, maybe since that moment, but I don't know if you remember last year. He's in contention. And I think it was Saturday. He may have been leading. And the par 5 11th is that dog leg left over water. And he's either in the bunker or he was in the rough. And his caddy is standing there begging him, don't hit the shot. Lay up, lay up, lay up. They're having this running debate. And the caddy is trying to save him from himself. And Rahm insists and goes for it, puts it in the water, and then turns around and starts screaming and yelling at the caddy. And he unraveled. I think he learned a big lesson that day. I think John Rahm, with the par fives, his length, his putting, I think John Rahm at 12-1. You know I'm not in that game, but I'm in on John Rahm. The other guy, from a current form perspective, I got to tell you, last week, I know we mentioned on our short list last week, we mentioned Tyrrell Hatton, and we'll get to him in a moment. But we also mentioned Sung J.M., and now the kid's playing with house money because he finally kicked the door down. This kid's a machine. He just plays. He lives out of hotels. He doesn't have a house, so I might as well just go live in a hotel and golf and make money. But now he knows how to win, and he's fearless, and I think he's doing a better job of mitigating the disasters. And he had a monster shot to win last week, and he came up just short. So, you know, from a current form perspective, so JM at 25-1, certainly a guy you could look at.
Yeah, I like a different guy in that 25-1 range here. I like Patrick Cantlay. You know, Patrick Cantlay, a guy here, sixth in strokes gained on approach. And, you know, distance off the tee isn't as important here as it is in a lot of other courses. That's not to say that Cantlay can't put it out there, but he's a very, very good approach player. sixth in strokes gained tee to green, hasn't been playing a whole lot, so he's maybe kind of an afterthought to a degree, but second in GIR percentage, greens in regulation percentage. That's really important here at a place like Sawgrass where, you know, you actually need birdies. You know, last week we talked about it. Par was going to be a good score on a lot of those holes. This week, you've got to make some birdies. I think Cantlay can get there with the GIRs. And, you know, the President's Cup angle has been really, really good too. He doesn't have a win yet, and he did play in the President's Cup. Guys that came off the President's Cup, you've mentioned this several times over, have picked up wins here early on. Maybe this is the week here for Cantlay at 25-1.
A terrific player, shows up on the big stage. I can't argue, you know, with any of that. It's fairways and greens, bud. I mean, fairways and greens. That you got to play from the short grass here. It'll be interesting to see, and we'll watch during the week, you know, how penal will the rough be. But it's fairways and greens. If you're playing from the short grass, all you know, if you're the one hitting a fairway all the time, I mean, you're on my short list. You know, it's funny. You look at some of these guys. Hitting it a mile sounds great, but if you hit it some of this cabbage, your advantage is gone.
I'll tell you another guy I like real quickly here, Gary Woodland. He's playing pretty well now, too. He was off last week, but 8th 2 weeks ago at the Honda, 12th at the WGC Mexico. Again, another one of those President's Cup guys that I feel like, you know, has got a good chance to get one here early on. 16th in strokes gained approach, 21st in strokes gained tee to green, 6th in GIRs. Hasn't putted well, which is obviously a problem, but he's getting there. He's getting to the dance floor, in position to get himself some birdies. Maybe has to settle for the two-putt par. I think Gary Woodland, also not a bad win player, if that kicks up a little bit too. 40-1, he's kind of intriguing to me.
I can't argue the case, and I think the U.S. Open, and he's contended again since. A lot of these guys, you know, win that first major and they vaporize. His length, and if he has a good week with the flat stick, you know, certainly he has an opportunity. I think you go swinging for the fences again. If memory serves, too, wasn't Ian Poulter? I played Ian Poulter last week, and he failed miserably. But I think Ian Poulter actually contended. Was it last year? Was he in the hunt for a long time? But
I know 2017 he was the runner up.
There you go.
Two-time runner up here, 2009.
And he's a bulldog. Poulter, I think you could take a look at. Don't forget the year Fowler had the great comeback and then the incredible playoff. Just out of curiosity, I did this to my buddy Cam Stewart. We do the hockey betting podcast that you can get on my Twitter at Brian Blessing, which we're having great fun with, but we do a golf thing too. And he and I follow this stuff religiously. It's amazing. I don't know what I did 6 minutes ago, but I have a weird knack of remembering sporting events for whatever reason. But I threw this at him, and he didn't get it. And it shocked me because he's all over this stuff. Do you remember who Fowler was knee-deep in contention with that day in that playoff?
Oh, man.
He's on my ticket this week for that very reason.
Sergio?
Kevin Kisner. Kevin Kisner's another guy he's got that bulldog mentality, and he's not long, but he's accurate. And he's one of these guys plays from the short grass. I think he's got the demeanor, because I'll tell you, you need a pair to win this tournament.
No. That's definitely true. That's very, very true. You know, and it's one of those things too, where, like you said, maybe you want to take some shots here, even though this is such a top heavy field and obviously a very, very good field up and down. You know, you do want to try and take some price plays here and some shots because, like you said, guys are going to be in contention for this thing that have very, very long prices. You can always come back and get a Bryson DeChambeau at, you know, maybe 10 or 12 to 1 if he's a couple shots back on Sunday, something like that. Some big positions here may not be a bad idea, but before we step away from golf here, I got to give you your props for Tyrrell Hatton last week. Great call by you.
Well, and I have two guys for futures for the Masters that I bet one very early in the fall and one a little later in the fall. I got Matthew Fitzpatrick at 125-1, and he's kind of there. He had a great final round, by the way, Sunday at Bay Hill. So we'll see how that shakes out when he gets there. I love the Euros and at the Masters. I just think that they're brought into the equation a lot more. And the other guy was when he won the Turkish Open. I bet Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, I think I told the story. He's doing a post interview. I think, and it was the richest. If I'm not mistaken, it was the Turkish Open. And for whatever reason, this thing was, I think it was worth even more money than the Dubai stuff. It was like a $2 million event he won. And he wins in a playoff, and they're interviewing him. And he says, you get the win, and you the big payday, and this and that. And the first words out of his mouth, yeah, the trophy's nice, the money's fine. He says, the highlight for me is I can't wait, in his words, I can't wait for the day to go to the Postal. And the invitation to the Masters comes. It's going to be the happiest day of my life. I ran to the phone and bet Tyrrell Hatton at 150-1 to win the Masters. He's now, and after the win this week, he's down to 80-1. I still think that's an overlay. So the last time you saw him, he wins the Turkish Open. He has a wrist problem. He's off for 3 months. He comes back with no idea what to do at the WGC of Mexico. And he's right there deep on Sunday with a chance to win that and then wins at Bay Hill. I got this guy at 150-1 and he's still 80-1. He should be down to 50-1 range. So I'm excited about those two guys' chances, when we get to the Masters. So, by the way, can I throw one more at you real quick?
Absolutely.
All right. I lived in morbid fear this entire weekend. I'm going to give myself a mini pat on the back. And believe me, I can be a complete box of rocks, but I have no life, and I love the golf, and I watch all this stuff. And again, talking to Cam, this thing we're doing, this is about 3 weeks ago I said this. Man, just like the President's Cup thing, we said, hey, watch these guys coming out of the President, and sure enough, right, they're all winning. 3 weeks ago, I go, I'm watching the golf, and I'm like, really? That's interesting. I'm watching this Sung Kang kid, and I see... He's got Zach Johnson's old caddy. Now, remember all the big events Zach Johnson went in? His caddy's the guy that flops around. He's holding the flag stick, and he does the bird thing with the arms. You know who I'm talking about? He's an older guy. Great caddy. But when Johnson would make a birdie putt, he'd do the flailing arms, like he's a bird flying. And I'm going, no kidding. That guy's on, because Zach Johnson said, I chime different voice, make the change. I'm going, this guy's been down the road before. That's a great get for that kid, Sung Kang. That's a great caddy. And he's sitting there, and believe me, the guts he showed on this tournament this past week, he was making six-footer after eight-footer, and he's doing mini fist bumps every putt, and he hung in there. He was there, till the tail end. This kid's 150-1 this week. He's been in contention two of the last 4 weeks. And he's 150-1. And don't sleep on the importance of the caddy, And I think this guy, and I should know his name. I don't even know his damn name. But this guy's a great influence on this Sung Kang kid who can play. And he's 150-1. I'm, for the life of me, just after what you saw last week, how's he not 80-1?
No, I like it. I like it. They're very good thoughts. And Brian will have some more thoughts for us over on our Bang the Book YouTube page about the Players' Championship here this week. But you mentioned Augusta. You mentioned the Masters. Let's go to Georgia for a different kind of event here real quick. The Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 is this week's NASCAR race down at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Kevin Harvick, your 5-1 favorite. Logano, Keselowski, and Elliott in that second tier in the 6.5. 7-1 range. Kyle Busch about 7.5-1. Bowman and Truex, the only other guys under 10-1, but pretty spread out here among the top contenders this week. Not really expecting any long shots to come in here on this 1.5 mile track down in Atlanta. So who are you looking at this week, Brian?
I know you're on board with Keselowski. He's won here before. I'd absolutely be on board with that. The one thing we're getting here now, we're getting different drivers with the exception of Logano, who's there every week. And you watch these things, don't you? I mean, on occasion, I mean, you follow it, you watch it a lot, or just check in.
I watch it when I can. I mean, I handicap it, to write the article, but I do watch it when I can.
This Logano guy, I don't know how, this is a horrible comparison, but He's Dale Earnhardt Senior. He races everybody so hard, and all these guys let him get away with it. I mean, when he's kind of the intimidator now, and I don't understand how more guys say, "I'm so sick of this guy's crap," and spin him out. He causes accident after accident after accident, takes guys out, and nobody ever gets him back. I at some point, somebody that, you know, got to stick up for themselves. The overlay price is Ryan Blaney. He's 12-1. He's got a car that's good enough every week. The guy's a snake bit. He keeps getting collected in accidents this past week. Happened to him again. You know, through no fault of his own, Denny Hamlin got loose, hit Keselowski, who hit Blaney. And Keselowski goes on and he wins the next stage, and his car wasn't that banged up. But, you know, Blaney's in the garage. But he's got a car that's good enough. From a price perspective, I think he'd be the guy. Look, Alex Bowman's actually, his car's been really good. And I will tell you, the Matt DiBenedetto guy, I keep saying this, I did it in the video last week. If there's group matchups or there are head-to-head matchups, the racing mid-pack, believe me, I think that's really where there's money to be made. And this Matt DiBenedetto guy in the Wood Brothers car, the 21, guy's driving really well. He's got a much better car. You remember him last year? He was just overachieving with subpar equipment. Now he's got a better car. It's still not as good as, you know, the top flight guys. But DiBenedetto in matchups is a guy you can look at. And don't sleep on Tyler Reddick, who he was running second for a long stretch in that race, the rookie. And then he made one mistake and he got shuffled back. You know, he fell back to eighth or ninth. But for a long stretch in there, watch for this Tyler Reddick kid in matchups. I think there's a kid that's there are a number of top five finishes in this kid's future, and you'll be getting a nice plus price on him on matchups coming up.
Yeah, Tyler Reddick was really good in the Xfinity Series the last couple of years. I'm going to take Keselowski in the next three races. I hope he wins one of them. They're all mile and a half, Atlanta, Homestead, and Texas. He should get one of them. So hopefully if he's in this 650 range all the way through, I'll have a little bit to show for it at the end. But I'm going to take Keselowski this week. I'm going to take him next week and then take him again at Texas. Not sure who else I'm going to have. I'll handicap that and write up an article here this afternoon over at bangthebook.com. We'll save the college basketball for the next segment with John Ryan, but I know Brian's going to do some of it over on our Bang the Book YouTube page this week with some videos. And of course, you can check him out all the time on Sportsbook Radio and Vegas Hockey Hotline. Brian, how can people check out those two shows of yours?
You can follow me on Twitter at Brian Blessing, and we'll get you send out the links for the show and the hockey betting podcast that we're doing with Cam Stewart. We're getting a lot of good feedback on that. It's a lot of fun. And that's available at betchriscanada.net. It's actually the site where there's written descriptions of our plays and the games, and the podcast is, I love doing this with you, bud. I mean, we've been doing this for a long time. We have great fun doing this. I have a ball with Cam, and it's a lot of fun and a lot of good hockey information if you like that. And the show's noon to 2 Pacific time, Sportsbook Radio with the top sportsbook directors in Vegas. And then 1 to 2, we do Vegas Hockey Hotline. Great guests from around the NHL. Yesterday, we had the Golden Knights are playing Edmonton, and we had the beat reporter for the Golden Knights from Edmonton on the show, and it, really good discussion. Thursday, they're playing the Wild. We go to Minnesota. We're going to have Pat Micheletti on. Really excited about the many years of covering hockey in the great context, and we get great guests on the hockey show, and it's a lot of Golden Knights talk, but believe me, we really dish it around the NHL. If you're a hockey fan, I think people will like that. KSHP.com, there's a listen live function there, and sportsbookradio.com, we put the shows up via archive, my friend.
Well, and of course, if you want to brave the coronavirus, you can also find Brian next week with some of those March Madness seminars. Bang the Book YouTube page, sportsbookradio.com, KSHP.com, at Brian Blessing on Twitter. Brian,
hey, by the way, I know you got to go, but the one thing, yeah, I'll be Thursday, Friday down at the Golden Nugget for the games. Come on down. That'll be fun. If you're coming in for March Madness, you get in earlier. We're doing a big seminar on the NCAA tournament on Tuesday night. That's at Sunset Station in the showroom at Club Madrid. Be myself, Chuck Esposito, Bruce Marshall, Andy Isco, Bernie Fratto, Hammer and Hank Goldberg, and Kenny White's going to be there. And we're giving away entries to the Last Man Standing contest. But most importantly, really breaking down the NCAA tournament and specifically what I think are the two best days in sports And that's the first 2 days of March Madness. So that's at Sunset Station next Tuesday night. If people are coming in for the event, it's a lot of fun.
Definitely sounds great. And we will talk March Madness. We'll talk probably the first four games next Tuesday on the segment with Brian as well. Brian, always appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, bud. Look forward to hearing what you and John have to say on College Hoops. Have a good day.